cheerful festive lighting illuminates the city of Glasgow at night.
I'm Andy Oliver, a chef and passionate food lover, and I believe you learn a lot about a family by the food they cook and eat together. Cheers. Never more so than at Christmas, when every dish we share reveals something about who we are.
Making this fit in.
I'd ham it all out and I would just sit about it.
And every recipe.
We've got to be sisters.
We are already, right? Because we've done this together. See how quickly it happens.
Has a memory attached.
My mother taught me how to do the bread sauce.
In that pan.
In this show, I want to celebrate the power that food has to connect us.
It's carrying on the traditions, and I think that's vital to keep the family together.
And to remind us of our roots.
We describe ourselves as a big fat Italian family.
So I'm joining three very different households in one of the UK's most diverse cities.
Salute!
As they prepare, then share three very special festive feasts.
Mum does it like Muhammad Ali, just floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee, you know.
Are you nervous?
Yes, so we're a bit nervous.
And I'm going to discover what these meals say about their family traditions.
It's a sweet tooth, man.
And the place they call home.
Everything uses butter. It's Glasgow, after all.
A Taste of Christmas with Andy Oliver. The Scott Monument in George Square is decorated with gleaming lights.
Scotland's such a special place to spend the festive season. This is a nation that knows how to party, so little wonder Glasgow is fast becoming one of the UK's favourite Christmas destinations. Scotland's largest city is also its greatest melting pot, shaped by a proud industrial past and a long history of immigration and famed for its vibrant art and music scene. It's a place teeming with a mix of cultures, communities and food traditions, so the perfect place to explore how different families feast together in different ways. I've been invited to three home-cooked feasts over the next few days, and I'm hoping they'll really help me get under the skin of this wonderful city. From the saltfish fritters my mum used to make to the spice-rubbed chicken that's a firm family favourite, the festive dishes I love making have some history to them.
A family on a walk. The Capaldis.
OK, let's go.
And that's something the first family I'm visiting in Glasgow know all about, as their Christmas recipes have been handed down for generations. I can't wait to uncover the secrets of their cooking.
Nini, up to the sky.
This year, Sarah Capaldi and her husband Antonio are holding their Scottish-Italian family's big festive feast for the first time.
Oh, I've got so much to do.
That means feeding 11 family members, including Mama and Nonna Capaldi, who normally take charge of the meal. No pressure, then.
I've now realised how much work is actually involved in a Christmas dinner, so I definitely appreciate my mum and my Nonna more.
But before hordes of family arrive on their doorstep tomorrow...
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Andy.
I'm Sarah. Come on in.
Thank you.
Welcome to our house.
There's a whole lot of prep this couple need to get through today.
So come on in.
Hello.
My husband, Tony.
Hi, I'm Andy.
And I've been invited to help.
So on Christmas Day, what happens food-wise?
We start off with antipasto because Italians need a kind of warm-up before the main event, the kind of meal eating. So you've got your kind of parma ham, prosciutto, cheese, salami, olives. We make our ricotta.
And then?
We go into ravioli. And then for the main event, we've got porchetta.
I mean, I'm literally just fascinated by how much food you guys cook and
I
eat.
Know.
Because it makes me feel like my family's more normal.
So I'm fascinated, slightly disgusted, but also quite proud of it at the same time.
I think I've found my soulmates in these two, and I can't wait to try those dishes. But today is about preparing them, and first up is the ravioli.
And what's in your mix? Is this that 00 very fine, fine flour?
Yes. Egg yolk and flours, a pinch of salt, and that's it.
And that's it. Very simple.
Yes. So this is my machine.
Your
this
baby.
Come from Italy. My family bought for me.
Oh.
This Italian machine.
Make you feel at home.
Yeah.
Making fresh pasta is a labour of love for Italian families, and the key is rolling that dough to perfection.
How many times do you put it through here, do you think?
Six, I think. Right. Just depends the size of the dough.
By rolling the dough multiple times, Tony is helping the gluten to develop, and that's how you get sheets that are both thin and strong.
And what's going to go in the filling?
We've fried up some shallots, some fennel, a huge heap of parmesan and some egg yolks.
A huge piece of...
Yeah.
Oh, look, see, oh, look, see, I thought that wasn't much, and look how much it is.
Yeah.
Making pasta is all about taking your time. A traditional dish like this can't be rushed, especially when it's going to be served to the family.
Are you nervous?
Yes, a wee bit nervous, but...
Yep.
Big pressure. Oh,
yes.
His mum's going to be FaceTiming, like, OK, let me see how much salt's going in that water.
Oh, my word.
It's good. We can do it. I think we could do it.
Of course you can do it. Look at this. This is beautiful already. So he doesn't even bother to mark it out. He just knows where it's going. Look at that. It's like a beautiful blanket.
With the filling in, Tony creates those famous little parcels by wrapping the pasta. In fact, ravioli means to wrap. Next, he'll separate them out.
And then you just do it with your fingers. It's so lovely to watch. It's quite a soothing thing to do, isn't it?
It's like watching someone play the piano to me.
It's like art.
And then...
Oh, you've got a little machine!
Yes, so Tony's grandfather would probably be rolling in his grave if he
saw
us using a cutter.
Really?
Or even using a pasta machine.
Really? Because you would do it by hand?
Handled everything, the size of the huge dining table. We would just
and cut each one by
cut
hand.
Cut Tagliatelle by his hand.
With the knife, by hands. Every time I make the dough for the pasta, for the ravioli, I remember my grandfather when he make the pasta by hand.
Yeah.
So that is important. Maybe I give it to my kids the same.
I'm getting the sense family means everything to the Capaldis, and their giant gatherings are legendary, whether in Italy or Scotland.
You are born and bred here, Sarah.
Yes, I was, yeah.
What are you, a Glaswegian Italian, an Italian Glaswegian? Are you Italian? How does it work?
I feel 50-50.
Do you?
I go to Italy and I feel Scottish and I here and I feel Italian, but we fit in so well to both cultures, especially Glasgow. I think Glasgow and Southern Italy are so similar. We're all quite loud. We'll make fun of ourselves.
Strong accent.
Strong accent. Strong
accent. I reckon Antonio's grandfather would be proud of his ravioli. Watching the care and attention he lavishes on every stage of the process, I can see just how much honouring his grandfather's memory matters to him.
You're like a true artist. I can't wait to taste them.
Antonio's pasta is going to be the second course of the Christmas meal, but it's Sara who's taking charge of the dish that really means the most to the family.
The number one thing for our festive meal is a porchetta. We only do it at Christmas and the festive season, so it's really special.
It's really the baby Jesus of the Christmas dinner. It's the kind of thing everybody waits for.
Special guest.
Yes, a special guest.
Porchetta is a dish of roast rolled belly pork that needs to be carefully prepared at least one day before eating. To get the best, most authentic Italian ingredients for the recipe, Sara and Mum Gilda have insisted we take a trip to their favourite deli, one of many like it across Glasgow.
So this is the spot, right?
This is where we want to be.
How long have you been coming here, then?
Oh, gosh.
Well, you longer than me.
Me longer, yes.
Oh, my God, it looks so fantastic.
Italian immigrants first began arriving in Glasgow in the 1890s, forced here by poverty back home. Some arrived hoping to board ships onwards to the USA, but once here, they found there were opportunities to make money and start businesses. They settled all over the city, opening cafes, restaurants and delis to bring a little taste of Italy with them.
Right, so what we get... Oh, my gosh, this place is amazing.
Like it's good, isn't it?
There's so many amazing things.
Lovely salamis.
Delis like this specialise in cured meats, cheeses and pickled vegetables, the kind of delicacies Italian families serve at the start of a meal as antipasti.
What is this? Friarelli?
So it's like a kind of spinachy broccoli.
So we'll get some of that.
Definitely get some of that.
What would you normally get then?
Definitely the white anchovies.
The white anchovies,
yes.
Hiya, how are we doing?
Okay, we're going to take some of the friarelli.
No problem. Do you want some of the anchovies as well?
No, yes, the Napoli salami. Any salamis?
I think Napoli's my favourite. I don't know what
you like. I like Napoli.
Yeah. So we need something for...
For the porchetta.
So you would want some rosemary.
Rosemary, take some sage.
And
definitely garlic.
Definitely garlic.
Lots of it, yes.
And is this... This goes inside?
Yeah, yeah.
This is, like, the most exciting shop I've been in many a moon.
Thank you very much.
It's beautiful. Do you make loads of this stuff yourself?
A lot of this produce we bring in from Italy, like the meats and the cheeses, but we do in-house make a lot of fresh pasta and savoury
yes,
dishes and
grapes. It's just because you've got the vibe going on there. Yeah. Oh, olive oil.
Ooh, yeah, that looks good.
Extra virgin olive oil?
Yes, that looks
good. That's from Naples, that's from Salerno.
Just like wine, olive oils from different regions have distinctive flavours influenced by the soil and weather conditions. This particular olive oil is renowned for its fruity, nutty flavour.
What is the whole Glasgow Italian community? Is it quite a big community
of
people?
It's a very large community.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We all come from kind of two different towns, one Tuscan town, one just south of Rome.
Yeah. Everybody comes from two towns.
Basically,
and actually,
there's a few that are from somewhere else,
but generally speaking...
They're snuck in.
Yeah, I'm like, hey.
What towns are we talking about?
So Barga's the one in Tuscany, so that's not where we're from. We're from Cassino, which is just outside of Rome, yeah. Places like this started to exist because there was such a large population and people needed this stuff. You would really only get Italians buying things at the counter, whereas now everyone buys things at the counter.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Wish I could live with you. Bye.
Our visit to the deli done, it's back to the Capaldi's kitchen to make a start on a recipe that's one of Italy's most celebrated specialities. Sara's taking on a classic here. I hope she's ready.
Have you made porchetta on your own before?
No, I've never been trusted with it.
So it's a bit of pressure.
It is a bit of pressure.
You could do it.
Yeah.
Reporting for duty, Sergeant Major.
OK, let's go. So first of all, we are going to cover it in sage, rosemary, garlic
and salt.
Lots of salt.
So shed loads of salt.
Oh, yeah.
So we really are curing this pork.
Yeah. Then we want sage.
What,
so we're just taking
it
basically, just strip
kind
it off.
Pull it.
I just sort of pull
and
off.
Well,
you don't necessarily.
Hurl it about.
And just
hurl it about.
Decorative.
Gilda often prepares the porchetta several days before it's going to be served because it takes time for the salt to do its magic, curing the meat and driving in all those wonderful herby flavours.
So is this your recipe?
This is the sort of family one.
So this has come down through the family.
Yeah. Our traditions that we have brought back from Italy definitely evolved around food, and having them is very, very important. I can feel... When I'm cooking, all the things that I would have stood beside my mother cooking as a child, it's as if she's still there, standing beside me. It's carrying on the traditions, and I think that's vital to keep the family together.
Basically, tuck
in.
You're very strong.
Right, OK, and then we'll just keep going all the way along.
So another piece?
We're going to cover it as many as
right,
we can.
Right, OK.
There we go.
Now it's tied and ready, the porchetta will need to sit and absorb the salt and herbs. So I'll be back tomorrow to help with the last bit of prep for the feast and to finally taste those delicious dishes.
A sparkling Christmas tree on George Square.
It's the day of the feast in the Capaldi household and the guests are just a few hours from arriving. After curing, the porchetta needs a long, slow roast, but must also cool before serving, so it's got to go in before any other prep can start.
Don't eat it.
Meanwhile, our hosts are plating up all the antipasti.
Hey.
Well, almost all. Antipasti traditionally combines cured meats, cheeses and pickles. This appetising pre-starter includes a mouth-watering fennel salami, truffled pecorino cheese and balsamic onions.
Well, we can get dressed. Make yourself look pretty.
Yeah.
Sara's right. You can't be wearing your day clothes with a big night ahead.
Later, Andy and the family are sitting at the table.
Salute!
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 it's so twinkly and lovely.
For this special festive celebration, Sara's grandma Maria is here, and Mum Gilda too. Her twin sister Lucia and her younger sisters Caterina and Vittoria, as well as brother-in-law Ben, and of course the little ones.
This is really lovely. Thank you for having me in your home. It really means a lot
coming.
To me.
We describe ourselves as a big fat Italian family.
This big fat Italian family sure know how to put on a big fat feast. And all this delicious looking food reminds me of my family table. Simple dishes made and eaten with love. Some food traditions we all share.
Who made that focaccia?
Tony,
you made the focaccia as well.
You really are very handy, aren't you?
There's a lot of you around the table, but there are more Capaldis, right?
Yes, a lot more.
Well, I have 4 children, 14 grandchildren, and now I've got 4 great-grandchildren, and they're all absolutely divine.
And so you're fabulous, look at you! I'm going to have some of this salami. Because it's too exciting for words. I just have to try to remember that there are many courses, so I must leave room.
That's actually the worst.
That's the worst.
Because we kind of wait all year for this. It's so hard not to ruin yourself because of so much more good stuff to come.
Too true, and Tony's handmade ravioli is the next Italian delicacy on the menu. But is it going to match up to what his grandfather used to make?
There you go, the Meissen Rind.
With 11 hungry relatives waiting in the dining room, we're cooking them as fast as we can, but this last bit of the process has to be done right.
I'm going to fry some butter with sage, and then it's all
just. And then you're just going to toss it in the sage off.
It's so tempting just to, like, pick them all up and, like, shove them in and eat them. And then you're like, no, I took hours to make these.
Here we go, darling. Here we go.
Oh, Parmesan.
Parmesan, yes. Look at this.
Carlotta, what have you got?
Okay, I'm so excited about the buffet.
Andy tastes the ravioli.
What are they? Onion and fennel.
Onion and fennel.
Oh, delicious.
Mm. It's lovely, isn't it? It's delicate.
I think this is heavenly. I don't know about you guys.
It's time to stop.
I feel like I need to slow down. Otherwise, I'm going to come a cropper.
Yeah.
You were saying you normally have a nap in between courses.
Yeah, definitely after the pasta, a nap is necessary.
Yes, a necessary sleep time.
Yeah, 100%.
I love that about Italian culture. Like, naps are built into the meal.
Yeah. It's the perfect day.
I think it's very civilised. Gosh, that pasta was delicious.
But now the moment has come when the main dish is about to make its annual entrance. The prized porchetta must now be sliced into wafer-thin portions. How do you do that? With your own meat slicer, of course.
Right, get a fork in there.
Then it's pan-fried carrots tossed with Marsala wine, Brussels sprouts with crispy pancetta, soft-braised fennel and diced roast potatoes cooked in porchetta fat. Delicious.
Are we ready for the main event? We've got the porchetta, yes. We've got the sprouts with the pancetta, we've got some carrots.
Yep.
These, and then this is more focaccia.
Oh, what is
I'm going to put one porchetta right in front of you. Everybody, porchetta! I'm so excited about the porchetta. I've been waiting for this.
Oh, porchetta to get the potatoes.
Oh my God. That porchetta, it's delicious. Oh my word.
The porchetta for me is a triumph. All those wonderful herbs have been infused into the meat and it's succulent and tasty. But have Sara and Antonio done justice to the family favourites?
So, guys, so this is your first time doing the festive meal.
Yep.
How's she doing?
I would give her 8 out of 10.
That's good.
That's
good.
That's
better than a Gordon Ramsay. It's hard to beat Nonna, so obviously she's done it for so many years.
Yeah. And Maria, how do you think she's done?
She's done very, very well. Very well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. It's delicious.
It's perfect, yes.
For me, it's a straight up 10 out of 10 because that pasta course and the antipasti was exciting, and then the pasta, and then the porchetta. It's like game over, I'm job done. It's just absolutely amazing. I do want to say thank you just one more time, men and women after my own heart. Salute.
Salute.
What an incredible feast. Just layer upon layer of flavour, layer upon layer of love.
I always think of a warm welcome whenever I'm in Scotland, but this had the heart and soul of Italy too. For this feast, the new generation have taken on the traditions of the old, and they've done a cracking job.
And that really seems to sum up this amazing family, the Capaldis, you know. They're true to their Italian traditions. Who they are, their past, their heritage is massively important to them.
What a wonderful way to celebrate the season.
Speeded up footage of day breaking in the sky above Glasgow. Then Andy sitting in the back of a taxi and looking out of the window.
I've learnt the secrets of how to make a great porchetta and that food in abundance is the key to Italian festivities. Now I'm heading to the city's south side to meet a family who also adore coming together to lay on an enormous spread, but whose recipes have a whole different flavour.
From the back of the taxi, Andy checks out colourful murals on walls. Day becomes night. Then a couple, the Chowdhurys, walk arm in arm through festively decorated George Square.
Well, look at this.
Hey, it's Christmas!
Hashim Chowdhury and his wife Atika celebrate this time of year with their own food traditions.
We're Muslims, so we don't do the whole Christmas thing. But in Glasgow at this time of the year, it's very special. The whole lights, the whole atmosphere, the attitudes of people as well.
What's your favourite one?
This tree in the Ramadan.
It's a time for celebration, you know, it's a time for appreciating each other.
I love it how they've done these reindeers.
Yeah.
It's quite...
I wish I can sit in there.
Hashim and Atika have been married for 3 years and they love the festive season.
What's important, I think, for us is when the whole family coming together.
It is.
It's a busy house, conversations are happening, people are coming, going.
Assalamu alaikum.
The couple live with Hashim's parents, Farkanda and Masood.
It was really cold outside, wasn't
They're
it?
They're cooking the food, yep. We're eating it all together. I would say, like, having that, I would say that's quite important to us.
This Punjabi-Pakistani family love giant gatherings where young and old unite across the table.
Hello, you must be Farkanda.
Yes, I am. Hi.
Oh, Andy.
Welcome to my house.
Oh, thank you. I'm Come so excited. In. Thank you for inviting me.
And today, I'm excited to be joining them.
For me, I look forward to it when Mum cooks the food because it's good food.
You've got a very impressive spice shelf Spices. There. I like the look of those things on there.
Yeah.
Hashim's mum, Farkanda, is the chief cook for any festive occasion.
I think there's about 12 different dishes. We have the lamblah, of course, and there's going to be kofta with eggs in it. There's going to be lovely dal. We're going to have a little potato dish. We're going to have roast chicken. There's going to be yogurts, we've got sweet toffee pudding, and also we've got vermicelli, which is also made in a sweet dish as well. No one is going to go hungry in this house.
That's how I feel when I'm cooking for the people I love. It's certainly a lot of food, so we better make a start.
What's my job?
So I think if you can cut the onions.
Yep.
The first dish we're going to make is the chapal kebab, or shoe kebab, which gets its name because it's supposed to have the same shape as a slipper. This dish has its origins in northern Pakistan and is a local street food. It's normally made with lamb mince, but Farkanda makes it with chicken mince for a lighter dish.
All my happiness memories of childhood are like when we would go to my auntie's house or all my cousins would come to my house and like a pile of family. It's the best thing ever, isn't it, right?
Yeah. It definitely you know, is. And I also firmly believe that everyone's got... We have this kind of saying in our language, which is that everyone's got their own hand at cooking.
That's what they say in the Caribbean. I like your hand.
It's almost like the way that you cook. It's coming from here to the hand and you're doing...
Oh, you're going to make me cry. I've only been in 10 minutes. Stories.
This recipe is one of many Farkanda learned from her own family, but she has her own personal take on what spices and amounts go in. It's all done by eye and by hand.
What I put into this is Whole coriander.
Whole coriander, so you leave it whole?
I leave it whole, uh-huh.
That's really nice, because then you get, like, a pop.
Yeah.
You get when a you're pop eating it. When you're eating when you it. I also put in some whole cumin.
Whole cumin, I love cumin seed.
So what I'd like you to do, Andy, just I've got some coriander, but if you can cut it even smaller than
yes,
it is.
Yes, sure.
And we'll put that in.
I can smell the coriander from that as well. It smells really fresh.
Yes, it is.
Do you know what I mean? Because there's heat, but there's also flavour. It's not just like burning hot because you've got all these other spices and stuff happening as well, right?
And then we'll just give it a mix and then I'll put in my final ingredient.
What is your secret ingredient?
Yeah, so I'm going to put gram flour into it.
Oh, which is...
That's your secret ingredient?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Gram flour?
You didn't know either.
Yeah. I'm just cooking with mom.
So gram flour, that's what we call channa, which is chickpea flour.
Yes.
Right.
So much about cooking with Farkanda reminds me of my own family, and the same is true of her family story.
You know, it was an invitation by the British government, wasn't it? There was posters and advertisement, you know.
Yeah, they used
you
to.
You want to come here, you know?
It's the same from the Caribbean communities as well. Lots of people came post-war. And they needed people to come, and they needed people to come and work, so loads of people came at the invitation of the government.
Just like my family, they brought their favourite recipes with them.
So show me the shape of the shoe kebab. I'm fascinated to see this.
How it is.
I like your little finger release that you do at the end. Look, watch. And then she goes... It's like a little dance. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
How many more of these have we got to do, then?
Maybe 20, but as I said, we just
keep going until it's
done. Keep going until it's done. But maybe about 20, I would
say. Yeah, it looks like about 20.
Chapel kebabs prepped. The centrepiece of the feast is yet to come, and it's a dish that Farkanda's son Hashim holds dear to his heart.
What I love about the lamb bilao is the flavour of it. It's so tasty. But you need to eat the lamb bilao when it's hot and ready, as soon as it's served on the table. And you know what? It fills my belly up. Mm.
Sounds to me like no Chowdhury celebration is complete without this dish. And for Farkanda, getting the ingredients means a trip to the Shorelands district of Glasgow Southside. Pakistani migrants first came to Scotland in the late 1940s, escaping violence that followed the creation of the country, and soon after a change in citizenship that allowed them to come to the UK to work. Now this is one of the most culturally diverse communities in the country, with over 40% of the population of South Asian heritage. And it's here that the Chowdhurys run a family shop where Hash and his dad both work.
It's quite big.
It is quite a big shop, but it's a lovely wee shop as well.
I mean, you've got loads of herbs, you've got 14 kinds of dates. I love this shop, all these different ghees and oils. Yep. If I lived in Glasgow, I'm telling you, I would be here.
Assalamualaikum. How are you?
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Andy.
I'm Hashim, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, how are you?
I'm good, thank you very much.
This is like the world of chili, what's happening here?
We sell foods from all around the world. It's a continental food store, spices, chilies.
Sambal, olek, I love
everything.
This stuff.
That's I would say the city unites a lot of people. But I see myself as Glaswegian and Asian. As a word, I like to say Glaswegian. I can't get away from being Glaswegian and Scottish. I can't get away from being Pakistani. So it's all infused and all together. So I'm right in the middle of both.
Farkanda's husband, Masood, does the butchery in the shop.
This is Andy.
Hello,
Andy,
sir. How are you?
Not bad, yourself?
I'm excellent, thank you.
He knows exactly what to give me. I usually come here. Actually, I usually just say, I need meat for the pilau, and he puts all the stuff together.
Very useful husband. That's good, isn't it?
If you want to see, you can come in.
Oh, that would be amazing. So we have an entire lamb?
Entire lamb, yeah. Cottage just now, I'll show you.
Yeah, please do, I'm really interested. I love lamb, but it's very fatty meat, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why I like it. And I guess, is that why it's good for something like pilau?
Pilau, yes, that's right.
But the fat is good because that's where all the flavour is.
You're absolutely right. If you want it to have the best flavour, that fat needs to be in it.
We might need some help in the kitchen. There's a lot of people coming, right?
I will help you, no problem.
Fabulous.
Okay.
You look helpful.
Okay.
It's a very useful husband. I've said that twice now.
Farkanda and Masood got married in Pakistan in 1975 and have been together for over 46 years. They've seen a lot of changes in Glasgow over that time, but one thing's remained constant, the food traditions that formed the bedrock of their family.
Excellent. I hear you're something of a dab hand in the kitchen yourself.
Well, sometimes. Yeah. Most of the time, she's the boss here.
Oh. Good. He's got it right, yeah.
He's got it right there, but he's a good cook.
Well, I'll try my best.
And today, Masood is playing sous chef once again as Farkanda tackles a family favourite, lamb pilau. This is a traditional recipe, but Farkanda uses her own personal spice mix.
Cumin. Mm-hmm. Fennel.
Yep.
Coriander seed.
Yep.
Bay.
Yep.
Green cardamom.
Yep.
Black cardamom.
Yep.
Cloves,
yep.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon,
yep.
Sticks, yeah.
Yeah, garlic and then peppercorns.
Yes.
So lamb pilau, I'm quite excited about this because this is a dish I kind of recognise and I kind of love because this is a kind of dish that happens all over the world where anybody eats rice.
Yep, it does.
And there's pilaf, seasoned rice, we call it in Antigua. Yes, there's risotto in Italy.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
Like rice with loads of good stuff in it.
Hashim sees himself as a total mix of Glasgow and Pakistan. I wonder if his mum and dad feel the same.
I came here when I was 3, but didn't really know much about back home. So you are straddling these two things and, you know, finding your identity in all of that is really, really difficult at a younger age.
And for you, though, has Glasgow accepted you?
Yes.
This is our home and anywhere else we go, you know, we yearn to be here as well.
To be here. Interestingly, when you're cooking, you want the things from the countries that, you know, all our families came from, but then you also want, like, the roast potatoes.
Yeah.
On the same plate or, like...
Same plate, yeah.
So what are we doing now with this?
I'll just put everything in.
All these onions.
Yep.
And the garlic. And there's a lamb going now as well.
Yep.
All that stuff we were looking at before, and you can see why. When it gets into the pot, it makes total sense, doesn't it?
Water is added and the pot is put on the hob to bubble, filling the kitchen with clouds of cardamom, cumin and garlic. It smells amazing. No wonder the family all love this recipe so much.
Does everybody call you Mum?
Yes.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, it's Mum or Amiji.
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 Amiji, I like that. Can I call you that?
Well, you're my sister.
Oh, come on.
Yes,
I don't believe.
We've got to be sisters.
We are already, right? Because we've done this together. See how quickly it happens.
A festive feast needs a big sweet finale, and at my place it has to be a trifle. But in this household, it's a new tradition, thanks to Attica.
To be honest, I never made, like, sticky toffee pudding in my country. I came last year here, and that time everyone loved it. And from that day, if it's a festive comes or like family coming together, mum, like his mum, always say, you make this.
Part of the whole Scottish, Glaswegian, Punjabi, we do have a sweet tooth. So it's very important to have a nice sweet dish.
So far I've seen Farkanda, Attica and Masood all wading in to prepare this feast. But finally, Hash is getting involved.
Hash, can I say, you seem to have got off the sofa.
Yes, I have.
In honour of the sticky toffee pudding.
Well, you know what? The sugar's calling me.
The sugar's talking to you.
It's...
Can you put a 2 tablespoon of black treacle?
Absolutely, yes.
That's too much.
Was it too
That's
much?
Too much. You don't get carried away.
The first sticky toffee pudding recipes are thought to be from Cumbria in the Lake District, but so many of its sweet ingredients hail from the Caribbean and it's made up of flavours I know and love.
So what's in this jug?
Dates.
Yeah.
And soda, bicarbonate.
Bicarbonate of soda.
Yeah, yeah.
So the hot water, bicarbonate of soda and the
dates.
And you leave that to sit for a while.
For 10 minutes.
To, like, develop.
Yes.
Make it all sort of airy and wonderful and it changes into this amazing mass. This is what you love, isn't it?
I love the dates.
All of it?
Yes, all of it.
Let's get that in there. So, tell me the truth. If Attica made this and there weren't other people coming around, how much of it do you think you could...
Oh, I'd hammer all it.
You could eat all
I'd hammer it, man. I'd just, like, just sit about it. Just...
Sit about it.
Just sit.
So this is going into the oven?
Yes, for the 35 minutes.
35 minutes. Is it ready to go?
Yeah. There you go.
Beautiful. Dream team! Dream team! Yeah. Pudding done. Yeah. Sorted. See ya.
Before the feast can start, Farkanda still has to complete her lamb pilau.
Couple of minutes.
Couple of minutes and then we'll steam it. Okay.
I can't imagine more care and attention going into family recipes. But for Hash, dressing for the occasion is as important as the meal itself.
I'm wearing my tartan shalwar kameez. It's a mixture of my two cultures that I identify with. So I'm Scottish Pakistani. And this is my own very own tartan that I've designed, and it's called McChowdhury.
Hash enters the kitchen.
You're looking very nice, son.
Thank you very much, Mum.
For this extraordinary feast, Farkanda and Attika have prepared no less than 12 traditional dishes, both old and new. There's something really heartwarming about this huge family coming together. Hashim and his sisters Mamuna and Yasmin and their children and in-laws and, of course, Masood. It's really special to be with them. And I can't wait to tuck in.
It's just so delicious.
It's amazing.
Mm. On a celebration day, you start with a small plate and you just keep having... going back, or do you just go in big?
We just... exactly what you see. We just set about it.
Set about it. It's good.
When I first met Farkanda, she explained to me the importance of showing your hand in your cookery, putting a bit of yourself into the dishes you love most. So I'm excited to taste the star of this family feast, the lamb pilau, and of course the chapal kebabs to go with it.
Hey!
Hey! Hey. Hey.
And here is the pilau, sir. Oh, yeah. And here are the chapal kebabs, the shoe kebabs.
You've got enough space?
I think there's plenty of space.
That's fine.
So why is the pilau such an important moment for Farkanda?
Well, I think it's like the queen of the table.
It's like the queen of the table. It like anchors everything, doesn't it?
It's like number one sibling, so, you know...
Number one sibling. Much like yourself. Kind of, oh, that's delicious. It's so fragrant.
This heady combination of spices, steamed rice and lamb tastes beautiful. Real comfort food.
Is that the shoe kebabs?
You mean the chapal kebabs?
The recipes may be new to me, but this spread feels so like my own family celebrations, where every dish has meaning, as well as being a joy to eat.
It's so good.
Is that tickling your taste buds, Andy?
It's dancing on my taste buds. It's like literally doing some sort of jig.
Mum does it like Muhammad Ali, just floats like a butterfly. Stings like a bee, you know?
That was extraordinary, but I know I've still got to find room for a final treat. A pudding to satisfy Hash's Glaswegian super sweet tooth.
Yes! Oh, my word, it's so shiny! That is such a good sticky toffee pudding. My mum used to call me pudding when I was little.
But you know what? This pudding says something quite profound about this family.
This whole table is really a mixture of many different cultures, actually, culminating in sticky toffee pudding. Yes. I love that, though.
Save the best for the last.
But don't you think that's, like, that's who we are? Mm-hmm. It's like all of those, that table heaving with food from all these different places and all these different, you know, marriages and friendships and journeys that we've taken and where we live right here on a plate. Mm. That makes me feel really completed. Oh, gosh. I am a very happy Andy right now, honestly. And I've met this incredible family. They've welcomed me into their home.
It's their warmth as a family and that typical Glaswegian sense of humour that really tell me who they are and where they're from.
If it wasn't for people like this Glasgow would not be as wonderful as it is.
The family have kept their own traditions alive so beautifully. but they've also taken on Scottish and British ones too, creating a gorgeous fusion of tastes and cultures, and I love it.
The crescent moon shines with a warm amber glow in the sky above the city.
Cooking and eating with the Capaldis and the Chowdhurys has been a joy and revealed so much about who they are as families. But it's also given me a real sense of what a warm and welcoming city Glasgow is. I've learnt how to create an amazing Italian spread and how to produce a Punjabi feast fit for a king. But now I'm heading to meet the last family who've invited me to share their festive table, and they're promising to end my time here with the best turkey in town.
The Youngs.
Right, am I on the presents again this year?
Yep, as usual.
What are you going to do?
The turkey. How about
Excellent.
That?
Excellent.
Ron and Eleanor Young both come from families who've lived in Glasgow as far back as anyone can remember.
Christmas in Glasgow is so, so special. Christmas means family, friends and feasts.
The three Fs?
Yeah, the three Fs.
And the importance of those three things is something that Eleanor has known since childhood.
So Christmas for me, growing up, Mum and Dad always made it really special. It was just me and my sister. Dad didn't grow up with an awful lot. When we were younger, Dad went back to college and became a social worker. Mum used to have a local newsagent's. And they used to work really long hours, and like Dad would kind of finish off in his day job and go and help my mum. They worked hard to provide for my sister and I. That was really important. Those are the special things that you remember, I think.
Now a parent herself, Eleanor loves to make Christmas just as special for her and Ron's own kids, Amelia, Claudia and Olivia. And that means getting their whole family over for a massive Christmas lunch.
On Christmas, we sing and dance the full night and we eat a lot and the adults drink a lot.
I think it wouldn't be Christmas without our crazy family. So for our Christmas dinner, we get a fish course first.
Then we do the famous genie soup.
My favourite is the main course because I have parsnips and roast potatoes and mash, but I don't like gravy at all.
She eats it all dry, literally. How weird is that? Sure, that's weird. It is so weird. You're not a saucy person.
It's the day before Ron and Eleanor's big Christmas meal, and I'm heading to Glasgow's West End to lend the couple a hand with their shopping. The West End used to be the home of Glasgow's tobacco and spirit merchants. The city's university is here, and it's also now known for its amazing food scene, including one of the city's best-known greengrocers.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Are you Ron and Eleanor?
We are.
Hi, I'm Andy.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi, pleased to meet you.
The most important part of the Christmas dinner is the bits that go around the turkey. The turkey's obviously important, but it's the bread sauce, it's the roast potatoes, it's the parsnips, it's the blah, 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 blah.
This is amazing already. Look at all the squashes.
I know, it's incredible. We're just having a look.
So the reason we have so much veg is because it's the combination of the family. So my mum loves things like turnip, cauliflower cheese, whereas Ron's family always loved parsnips and carrots. So we just decided we'd do it all rather than let him do down.
So this is your general vegetable area, I'm thinking then?
Yeah, this is a critical area for the mountain of veg.
At a time when we can all buy such a huge variety of produce, it's easy to forget that the spuds, root veg and sprouts that so many of us love with our Christmas lunch were once the only veg in season at this time of year and have been on festive menus for centuries.
So what are we starting with?
Cauliflower.
Start, here we go, so we'll have one of those.
We need some Kerr's Pinks for roasters.
Shall I get a bag?
Yeah, try and keep them the same size if possible.
Oh, sorry.
Being bossy, but
there you go. Here, you do it.
Thank you very much. Because they're muddy.
If you're bossing me about, I think I'll let him do it. What else do we need, Madonna?
We do need some carrots. Can we go for the Scottish dirty ones, please?
These two are so particular with their veg selection. It really matters to them to get the right produce for the perfect Christmas lunch.
Parsnips. We'll need leeks for grand soup.
Nice leeks, aren't they?
Onions.
Onions, yeah.
It looks like we must be done, actually. I mean,
Quite a lot of stuff.
I think we bought the shop.
Quite a lot of stuff. Shall we? Shall we?
Go for
yes,
it.
We onwards. Shall.
All this shopping's hard work. I think we've earned a little break.
So how did you two meet, anyway?
We met at university.
You've been together a while?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Since we were 19.
And were you just from very similar walks of life?
Ron was a bit more of a posh boy.
He was a bit of a posh boy. Yeah, are you a bit posh, Ron?
I'm a bit posh.
Is he the one who took you to that veg shop?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Only at Christmas, I'm tight as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They might have grown up on different sides of Glasgow, but this pair are a great double act. And I think tomorrow's lunch is going to be fun.
A bird's eye view of the River Clyde snaking through the sprawling city.
It's mid-morning and the preparation for the Young's family feast is just getting started. And Ron knows exactly which dish to tackle first.
That looks like a mighty fine bird you've got there, sir.
It's about five and a half kilos, something like that. So it should be enough.
So what are you doing now? You'll
just get the skin off so I can get butter. So I've got salted butter and unsalted butter.
Two kinds of butter going in there?
Well, I'll probably use salted for this, but everything uses butter. It's Glasgow after all.
So you've got to be so careful, though, that you don't break the skin.
I know, that's exactly what I'm worried about here.
It's a bit scary.
I always cook it upside down to start with.
Me too.
So.
Because then all the moisture stays in the breast, right?
Right down the bottom.
The turkey's in the oven, but there's loads more to do. And in this house, even the Christmas table has its own traditions.
This table looks so nice already, right?
I know.
Yeah.
So what are we going to put where? How do you normally do the crackers?
They normally go top.
All right, so and where do you want to put the acorn-y, Christmas-y?
Put them on the tops, but make sure the colours aren't together.
All right, so you start those and I'll start these.
Right. Okay. Put gold there, there.
So Christmas is big, big in your house, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a big deal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the most important Christmas tradition for you guys?
We go see Elf every year, Christmas Eve.
Elf! I love Elf!
Boxing Day is like the laziest day of the year for us.
So is this jammy day?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jammy. I love this.
All day.
Our cousins leftovers. Always end up staying round.
Our cousins
well.
Come over, the party continues.
Oh, bless them. Do we like the table? We're happy?
Yeah.
I'm happy. Stifle. I think that's wicked.
They might be happy with the table, but for the girls, Christmas lunch can't start without their granny's Christmas cockaliki soup. Eleanor's mum, Jean, has arrived early to get it started.
It's so nice to meet you, Jean.
Nice to meet you, too.
I've heard a lot about you. Wow. Nobody told me you were extremely glamorous, however. Massively glamorous. So we're going to make your soup. I'm excited about this soup.
Mum, you're the soup queen because you have followed the tradition that's come down from Granny and now you've got that tradition.
Yes. When I'm not here, you'll get it.
What have we got in the pot already?
Giblets.
Giblets.
The turkey.
So that's just getting the base of the soup flavour. Because it's all about the stock, isn't it, with the soup?
It is, really, yeah.
Because if that's not right, then
it's
bland.
The flavour, yeah.
There are cockaliki soup recipes dating right back to the 15th century.
Oh, I love a leek.
I know.
It was traditionally the soup of the poor, using up every bit of the bird.
So the giblets are a key part of this soup?
Yes. But my two never knew that I made the soup with giblets. I had to hide that. Or they wouldn't have eaten it. I know they wouldn't have.
Yes. Be spoiled. Do your kids know?
I'm not sure that they do. Olivia might, because she's the oldest and she's probably been around longer.
She's seen you.
But we've kept it a secret from the others.
Well, the secret's going to be out now, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
So it's leek.
Pudding rice.
It's a short grain rice.
Yes.
Which is nice and starchy and goes fat. That's quite soothing.
Yes. And I rinse it to get the starch out.
Yeah.
And parsley, and that's it.
Oh, it smells great. So how long does it take for this to cook up, then?
A couple of hours.
Oh, so you cook it long?
Yes.
Yes.
Rice. We like our soup up here.
Yeah, you like us. Well, you need it.
Keeps us warm.
You need it, honestly.
I love family recipes like these that have to be made year after year or it just doesn't feel like Christmas.
I love the soup.
But that specific soup, because it's made with, like, turkey and, like, it's Christmas, it's like Christmas soup, so we only get it once a year. Jen, I think I could eat it for every meal.
There's only enough to last us Boxing Day, though, because our cousins come round and eat it all.
After the soup, there's the main event, and here recipes handed down from both sides of the family all have to make their way onto the menu for it to feel fully festive.
Well, we never deviate
from tradition.
Us providing for the family is quite important as well, so therefore we're more interested in making sure everybody else is OK.
What would you like me to do?
Can you do Brussels?
I knew you were going to give me Brussels.
Nice and fiddly.
Just because I'm the guest, so I get the Brussels, right. I say. It's fair enough. I'll start with the Brussels. What are you going to do?
I'm going to extract the potatoes.
Ah, you go, Tammy.
Good idea.
Yeah.
I'll go on with red sauce.
The first recipe for bread sauce was published in 1390, but for Ron, it's family history that matters.
That was my mother's pot.
Oh, really?
My mother taught me how to do the bread sauce.
In that pan.
She's like me. You know, turkey is the main event and all that, but it's all the bits and pieces around it that are actually almost more important.
So you've been making bread sauce in that since you were little?
Yeah, since it was more than 2 years ago.
So talk to me about this bread sauce.
Bread sauce, right,
what,
okay.
What are you doing?
So cloves into the onion.
Right.
Dead simple. Onion into historic pot.
Into historic pot, yes.
Bit of milk in with onion and cloves. Very, very low heat. Just leave her.
To infuse the milk.
To infuse.
Oh, it's that flavour.
Meanwhile, breadcrumbs, so that's a sort of local morning roll. Nice and hard from stale.
A little bit stale, lovely. Yeah.
So what I'm going to do now is just pop the vintage pot onto the hob. It just simmers away there for any real amount of time just to let the flavours infuse. And then once we're ready, we just drop the stale Morton's roll breadcrumbs in at the last minute. Take the onion out, of course, as well. And that's it.
Sounds easy, but to get the full Christmas lunch on the table for 11 people, these two have got to get their skates on as there's still loads to do.
Potatoes done. Right.
This is looking done.
That's too hot. Burnt.
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 What in God's name? Right.
Can you keep out of the way?
Job done. Just in time to join the party. And joining the family are Ron's sister Liz and her daughters Ella and Sarah with her boyfriend Hardy and, of course, Granny Jean.
Great. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Merry Christmas. She went, I always win, and she lost them both.
They don party hats.
So yours is more of a tiara.
That is good, yeah.
Granny Jean's soup has been slow cooking for 2 hours. It's what the girls have been waiting for since last Christmas.
Look at that.
Oh, wow.
It just smells amazing, honestly. It was such a lovely thing to make that with you today. I love that there's a family excited about soup.
It's so random.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just a lovely thing. Mm. Eating it feels really soothing. I like this because this is really like reminds me of a Caribbean soup as well. The bits are still there. It's cooked in it soft, but it's still got all the textures and stuff in there.
The soup is wonderful. The turkey stock is intense, and the slow-cooked rice adds an almost creamy texture. But if this recipe is going to carry on passing down the family, I think the girls do need to understand what makes it so tasty.
I'm not sure I'm ready for this.
Do you know why the stock tastes so good? Do you know what's in the stock, right? You're like the giblets.
I know what giblets are. These two probably don't.
Is that what pee?
It's like animal pee.
No, it's not. No, we wouldn't do that to you. But it's like the
it's
kind
good, but it's
of
not
kidneys.
That good.
Good.
It's like the kidneys and the little innards and all the bits and stuff.
That's where all the flavour is. That's why, like, haggis and stuff, like black pudding.
Yeah, that's why old haggis and black pudding taste so good.
Shall I go and get a turkey?
Shall I come with you?
After you.
Come, sir, mekwiguan, as they say in the Caribbean.
Turkey, turkey.
We don't want to keep this lot waiting. They could get nasty.
All right, I'm going to watch you, cos This is not my forte.
You just come down at an angle. Just use the fork to steady yourself.
Got it.
So I'm going to let you get on with it, and I'm going to get the vegetables out of the oven.
Right.
Oh, look at those roasties. I'm behind you in the very hot tray, sir. Beautiful work. Get some of these potatoes out. Pass me that platter, darling. Sure. There we go.
You manage?
You all right with that?
Yeah, yeah, I'm getting there. Oh, that's wonderful, thanks.
Let's do it.
Let's go feed them.
Fantastic.
Expertly carved by you.
This groaning table reminds me of my own festive feasts, where we have to have peas to please my daughter and at least two kinds of spuds.
Oh, cheers, everybody.
Cheers. No.
Everyone raises and clinks their glasses.
Happy Christmas, everyone. Look at that. I would like to draw your attention to the fabulousness of your father's turkey, because that's a mean-looking turkey. But you brought, can I give you some mashed potato, please?
While everyone helps themselves to sides, Ron serves up slices of turkey.
The smell of bread sauce almost makes...
Can I get that fork back?
Cauliflower cheese. A little bit of the stuffing off the... That's an excellent piece of turkey cooking.
Mm. Excellent teamwork.
The turkey is moist and succulent. Ron's bread sauce is full of flavour and the whole range of veg is done to perfection.
How's your dry dinner?
Oh, my God, she's got no
It's really nice.
I told you dinner. Literally dry.
The family works so hard over multiple sides and dishes so that everyone gets to have their lunch their way. Even if for Claudia, that means none of Ron's gravy.
It's your dinner, babe. You like it dry. You like it dry. What can we say?
Andy tucks into her dinner. Then she steps outside.
You know, honestly, these families that I've met since I come to Glasgow, I feel truly inspired by them.
From the recipes they cook to the pans they cook them in, traditions from Ron and Eleanor's childhoods combine to create the Christmas feast their family love today. All the feasts I've shared have had real family traditions at their heart. It was wonderful to see the next generation of the Capaldis hitting the spot with old family recipes.
Everybody eat porchetta!
I love the way the Chowdhury's feast combined Farkanda's recipes with the real flavour of Glasgow.
Well, you're my sister.
Come on.
It's a sweet tooth, mate.
There's something very particular about coming from this city, and I feel like I've been privileged to be to share that gift with them over this period of time.
At the Young's house, even though the feasting is done, the fun isn't over. There's one more tradition for me to get to know.
So what is next then, people?
We start off a bit of music now.
A bit of Christmas music.
Burn off the millions of calories we've just eaten.
I'm full of, like, potato and bread sauce.
If there's one thing I've learned from all the feasts I've enjoyed with these families, it's that Glaswegians love a good party.
Everyone dances the slosh.
Whatever traditions you share at this time of year, I wish you good feasting, good food and loads of good fun. Merry Christmas.
Andy sinks into a chair.
Back on the road with full tanks to throw a banquet of heartfelt thanks. After a hard year, they're right out to spread cheer. The Hairy Bikers coming home for Christmas. New here Tuesday at 9. And on BBC One tomorrow at 2:30, Nigel Slater is creating 12 Tastes of Christmas.